Okay, we are talking today with Maureen Buzalaki of Smoke Free Wisconsin on the day of Wisconsin finally going smoke free. Hi, Maureen.
Hi there.
It's been a long road to this day. Let's talk a little bit about the process, how this happened, and I guess what your thoughts are.
Well, frankly, it started in Madison in 1992 with the first smoke-free ordinance, and that did not cover all workplaces. It didn't even cover all restaurants at that point. But that was the beginning of movement here in Wisconsin. But you can step back even into the 80s when Senator Risser worked on the Clean Indoor Air Act that got us the smoking or non-smoking sections and made some workplaces smoke-free. Obviously, a lot has changed.
As a matter of fact, I can go back to the early 90s and remember that when I was at WDLB in Marshfield. At Marshfield, kind of a health-minded community, we actually put it to a vote in our workplace as to whether we wanted to go smoke-free. And there was one, there was a salesman who actually had one lung, but he felt bad about imposing on the smokers and making them go basically out the back door of the building in order to have cigarettes. So we've definitely come a long way. I don't think people who have health impairments that are directly related to smoking feel bad now about imposing this on anyone else. We've come a long way, I guess, in just the way we look at the whole issue.
Well, and I think it's, you know, really become a worker issue and protecting workers at work from exposure to secondhand smoke. And that's been really key in the last few years. Plus, the health harms of secondhand smoke have been so well documented. In 2006, the Surgeon General came out and said, you know, the debate is over. You know, it's done. You know, there is no safe level of exposure to secondhand smoke.
Let's talk a little about what some of the impacts can be of people who are routinely exposed to secondhand smoke.
Well, we know from talking to hospitality workers, things that they experience almost every day are, you know, red eyes, itchy throat, runny nose, you know, tightness of chest. And those are all precursors to respiratory disease. So it's really key to make sure folks are protected, but it doesn't take that long to reverse those symptoms. Some experience that within a few days. I know a bartender who had a cough that took about 4 months to go away after the law here in Madison went through, but it doesn't take too long for folks to feel better who are working in that industry when those laws go into effect. The other more startling piece is the heart attack data that we've seen. And what's happened is we see somewhere between a 10 and 30 to 40% drop in heart attacks the first year after the smoke-free laws go into effect. And then there have been studies that go beyond that, and they continue to decline. So it really has a major impact on health. And we're looking forward to that here in Wisconsin.
I wanted to go back to the workers in the hospitality industry, which obviously is a very important industry here in Wisconsin. Were they, I mean, could this have not happened without, I guess, the voices of those people and their continuing insistence on this as a legitimate concern?
Oh, of course not. You know, it really has taken a lot of people, you know, working on this issue for many years in order to make it happen. And, you know, clearly the workers have stepped forward and said, you know, I can't take it anymore. We need to do something about this. And, you know, then you find out that the data shows that this is good for business too. And it's not just good for, you know, the hospitality venues. It's good for all businesses because they find you have fewer sick days when you're not exposed regularly to secondhand smoke. And so that ups productivity as well. And then health insurance, I would never say that health insurance prices go down, but they wouldn't increase as rapidly as we're able to get a handle on some of these health issues.
This had happened, I guess, piecemeal in terms of local municipalities around the state, places like Madison, most communities in Dane County, as a matter of fact, Appleton, and a few others had already put something in place very similar to this. Why couldn't we have just waited for the local communities to do this on our own? And I know this question has been endlessly hashed out, but let's ask it again.
Well, part of it was that Hospitality, part of the hospitality industry actually joined on our side of this because a lot of the folks in the restaurant business wanted a level playing field all across the state. They didn't want, if they own and operate more than one location, they didn't want to have to worry about different rules in different places. And so there was an interest in having, you know, everybody go smoke-free. You know, from our perspective, we feel the need to make sure all of Wisconsin is covered. And some of that work's not quite finished yet. We do need to work with the Native American tribes about that as well. Although Oneida has had two casinos go smoke-free last month, they're smaller ones, smaller venues, but we're really excited about that and hope that they have good results with that.
Are you doing any sort of outreach or liaison work with the tribes to try to get to that point?
The tribes are funded under the Tobacco Control and Prevention Program, and so we have regular contact with them, of course, and they are doing work within the tribes educating about this issue. And across the country, it's becoming a big issue with casino workers because of the health effects, obviously, that they have. And unfortunately, some casino workers have been fired when they've spoken out. So it's kind of a delicate situation. But we do know that there is a big movement to move forward. And the Navajo Nation had passed a smoke-free law for their entire nation last year. It was vetoed. And so they're going back at it again. And we hope they're successful this time.
Interesting. Are you concerned at all that some operators are going to find or try to find loopholes and ways to get around this? I mean, there's been a lot of discussion on that in the media in the last several months.
We're not really all that concerned. There will always be, no matter how well your law is written, a few folks who don't want to comply and they want to get some ink or they want radio interviews, you know, to get that exposure. But, you know, by and large, most folks are going to comply right away. Maybe a couple will take their time, but I really don't think that's going to be a huge issue. There are reports of a handful of places looking to build some sort of structure, and I would just caution businesses from doing that. There's really no need for that. The vast majority of the population doesn't smoke, and putting a large investment in that, you know, might be unwise. And you don't know whether these laws will stay the same. You know, in California, certainly outdoor areas, four states have smoke-free outdoor dining. And the city of Verona actually passed outdoor dining smoke-free as well. So we have evidence here in Wisconsin that there is some desire to do that. So I wouldn't necessarily think of this as, you know, an investment that's going to pay off in the long term if you're thinking it's for smokers only.
How about the law itself? Is that going to pay off in the long term? I mean, do you think that if people are patient, people in the industry, that they might actually begin to see clientele or patrons who hadn't previously been in their places just because of the smoking? I mean, that's one of the pitches that's been made for a long time, that this is actually going to be good for business.
I think it will. It does take time, though. It's definitely a transition sort of period. We're certainly encouraging folks to get out and visit places that they haven't gone before. But it does, you know, there's an adjustment. We're used to going to certain places. And frankly, I've forgotten sometimes that I can go to, you know, the Hody or, you know, some other bars and places where I like to play games and listen to music just like everybody else. So it'll take a little bit to make sure, but we're certainly pushing folks to do that. There's 21 celebrations across the state today, which we're really excited about. And, you know, a lot of people are out and showing their support.
Tell me a little bit about the celebrations. I mean, what's going to be involved in that?
Well, there's a number, like I say, 21 around the state. There's several places in Milwaukee, in suburban Milwaukee. Madison has a celebration at the High Noon Saloon. Wisconsin Dells has one at Buffalo Phil's. And, you know, it's all listed on the wibetter.com website. And there's also information for employers and employees about the smoke-free law. Make sure you have your signs up, the no smoking signs, and, you know, gives you some tips and fact sheets about the law as well.
You've probably heard this sort of anecdote before, too, but I know people here in Madison who sometimes when they go over to Milwaukee for the weekend, it's like, oh, yeah, I forgot. People can still smoke here, and sometimes that's it comes as a little bit of a shock. So I think, again, maybe getting back to people patronizing places that previously they were a little skittish about because of that.
Well, we've heard from some of the larger companies in Milwaukee that they find that's a problem when they're recruiting and that kind of thing. It goes a little bit deeper, you know, in terms of, you know, you're looking at health insurance and the health of your employees, and, you know, really what kind of place Wisconsin is. And now we think it's better for business.
This was a huge victory for smoke-free Wisconsin. What's the next big challenge as you see it?
Well, unfortunately, there's still almost 1 million smokers in our state, and there's a lot of folks who need assistance in quitting and being able to stay quit. And so we will continue to work on that. And unfortunately, the tobacco industry has also come up with some new products. They are adding candy flavored kinds of things. And so we're very concerned about that. We've seen a spike in some of that usage. And it's, you know, many of those products in our minds are clearly geared for children. I mean, grape flavored tobacco products, you know, aren't for your 35-year-old chewer. There's still quite a bit of work there to be done. Wisconsin still has the dubious distinction of having one of the highest pregnant women smoking rates in the country. We definitely need to keep working on that. And with this law will definitely help all of those efforts. But there's plenty of work to do. And like I say, we really want to help folks make that transition so they can quit for good.
But today's a day for celebration. Maureen Busalaki with Smoke Free Wisconsin, thanks very much for taking the time to talk about it.
Thanks for having me.
You bet.